كن علينا ولمن على الخير أعاننا ولمن عن الشر الدعاء. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد سيد السادات ونور الأنوار وسر الأسرار، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله. اغفر اللهم لنا ولأهلنا. طيب، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We apologize here. The brothers with the tech that I have with me, he admits that he's not very tech. So, inshallah, savvy. Allahumma, khair. إذن قال الإمام النسفي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وعلى أصحابه ومن والاه. قال الإمام الهمام العلامة الأجل إمام أهل السنة النسفي رحمه الله تعالى ورضي عنه ونفعنا به وبكم آمين. فإن قيل السعيد هل يصير شقيا والشقي هل يصير سعيدا أم لا؟ This is the question about the سعادة and شقاء. سعادة means the everlasting happiness and شقاء means the everlasting failure والعياذ بالله. The question Imam Nasafi is putting here forward, he says, if they say, will the one who is happy be destined to be unhappy or fail at the end? And what is the one who is shaqi today? Now he is a failure. Would he be among the successful ones or no? Yani basically, the one who is now acting like the disbeliever, disbelieving in Allah as a tyrant, disbelieving in Allah on the Day of Judgment, etc., etc., doing all kinds of zulm and tyranny, can that change? Or is it written and that's it and that's going to be the way it is? And the vice versa, the one who is pious and has the characters of the successful and the faithful, etc., will that change or will it remain the same everlastingly, and at the end for the Jannah and Nar? Imam Nasafi said, قلنا من كان سابقا في علم الله تعالى أنه شقي أو سعيد فإنه لا يتغير ولا يتبدل، ولكن يجوز أن يكون اسمه مكتوبا في اللوح المحفوظ من الأشقياء أو من السعداء، ثم يحول ذلك فيكتب من الأشقياء أو من السعداء، لأن لو قلنا بأن الشقي لا يصير سعيدا والسعيد لا يصير شقيا يؤدي إلى إبطال الكتب والرسل وهذا لا يجوز. And we probably talked basically about it and last time is what the brother is telling me here. Basically what it means here, the one who is now, can that change? Yes, it can change if it's in other than the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني the knowledge of Allah جل جلاله as its صفة and attribute is not subject to change. But if it's written for اللوح المحفوظ or anything else, yes, it changes. And the one who is pious today may end up being among the failures and doomed to Jahannam والعياذ دين to Jahannam والعياذ بالله. And the one who looks like acting like the people of Jahannam nowadays may end up being among the people of Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's in the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that, that's in the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that this is also a difference between the Maturidi radiallahu anhum and the Ash'aris. The Ash'aris, they say, يعني السعيد لا يشقى. The one who is written, or the one who is deemed to happiness and success, is not otherwise. And as you can see probably in the Jawhara, Imam al-Laqani, and also in the explanation of the Fiqh al-Akbar li'Ali al-Qari, you'll see that very clearly there. But you know that Imam al-Nasafi rahimahullah, Abu Maymun and Abdullah ibn Ahmad al-Nasafi, and Imam al-Khazin, and also you'll see also li'Ali al-Qari, you'll see that the Maturidi radiallahu anhum, they believe that no, it changes. And the dalil for that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, fi Surah Al-Anfal. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قل للذين كفروا إن ينتهوا يغفر لهم ما قد سلف. Which means, tell to those who disbelieve, if they stop, يعني if they repent and enter to the circle of faithful, then Allah forgives what they have committed. Which means then, يعني if someone who was not a believer, you know, that can change and that their sins can be forgiven and they can end, of course, to good, etc., etc., etc. نعم. Of course, الأشعري رحمه الله, الأشعري is not only الإمام, يعني الإمام الحسن, but the entire أشاعرة, they went to saying, well, remember the hadith, نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, السعيد من سعد في بطن أمه والشقي من شقي في بطن أمه. يعني السعيد, the one who is happy, يعني deemed to happiness, then is the one who is happy in the wombs of his mother. And the one who is deemed to unhappiness and failure, then, والعياذ بالله, then he is deemed to that from the wombs of his mother. Also remember that there is a hadith, also Muslim and Bukhari, I believe both of them, hadith ibn Mas'ud, رضوان الله عليه, that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned that then يعني after the embryological stage in the beginning of pregnancy or formation of that infant, or at that point it's called an embryo, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a malak, an angel, and that angel of course puts ruh or soul in this embryo, and then is ordered with four words that the angel will write the rizq of that embryo, the lifespan of the embryo, and then the deeds of the embryo, and whether this embryo is deemed to success or deemed to failure. Now remember that our answering to this, that does not really necessarily negate what we're saying. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the malaika to write the end, what will happen to this person, whether he will be deemed or she will be deemed to good or bad. That has to do with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the knowledge, as the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not subject to change. So Allah knew what this person would do and how this person would end up, and he wrote that. Notice? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew of this person, let's say, did not believe, and eventually he believed, he was a tyrant, he became just, all these things, and he made dua, and Allah knew that because of this dua, and because of this repentance, and because of whatever, this is what's going to happen. But it's possible that this person was written, let's say, falawh or other things, that he was not, at this point, he's not good, that could, of course, change. Naam. So, يعني this is again among the things. I think really this is a lafzi, more, it's not that deep of a difference between the Maturidis and the Ash'aris in this sense here. And I think it's more lafzi than it is really a serious difference. Because again, to the Ash'aris, they believe the mu'min was always a mu'min. Even in while they were, يعني they're saying among يعني the, for example, just to clear this issue a little bit, الحافظ الخازن رحمه الله, علي بن محمد الخازن البغدادي رحمه الله, in his book تفسير لباب, if you probably know it, he narrates عن عمر وابن مسعود رضي الله عنهما, saying that يمحو الله ما تعالى السعادة والشقاوة ويثبت ما يشاء. Allah سبحانه وتعالى erases happiness and unhappiness on the slaves, and he writes then whatever he wills. نعم. And then mentioning that, يعني, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is saying that when he was making tawaf around the house of Allah, the Kaaba, oh Allah, if you have written me among the people of success, then confirm me among them. So that confirm me, يعني أثبتني فيها, the lafz of Imam al-Khazin, وَإِن كُنْتَ كَتَبْتَنِي عَلَى الشَّقَاوَةِ فَمْحُنِي وَأَثْبِتْنِي عَلَى السَّعَادَةِ. And if you had written me that I will be ending unsuccessful, then erase that and confirm me with the people of success. So that's, yani, again, among the points here. Of course, the shaqawa, yani the unsuccess that's written, or the bad end that's written for a slave or for a creation in the lawh al-mahfuz, and the sacred tablet, may be changed to a successful end because of the deeds of those who were deemed a success. And the reverse is valid. طبعاً the Ash'aris, they don't believe that. And they say, إِنَّ أَبَا بَكَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَ عَنْهُ, يعني أبو بكر رضي الله عنه, was سعيد, يعني was in among the successfuls while he was making sujood for the sanam. يعني that's what the Ash'ari is saying. And they say that يَمْحُ اللَّهُ, their دليل is يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتْ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. And the ayah means, the ayah of the Surah Al-Ra'd, it means Allah erases whatever He wants and affirms whatever He wants, and to Him belongs the sacred tablet. So they say, well, that means it is things that are erased and affirmed not in the sacred tablet. So again, you see this is the difference then here between both, inshallah ta'ala, and that is again not a big difference. So inshallah, like I said, it's really really lovely. We'll finish from here. We'll go to the fourth subtopic. The fourth subtopic with the first chapter is the hukum, or the sentence, or the judgment of those who have not heard the da'wah of Islam. Those who have not heard of the da'wah of Islam. حُكْمُ مَنْ لَمْ تَبْلُغُهُ الدَّعْوَةِ. He did not receive any tabligh of the da'wah. قال الإمام النسفي رحمه الله تعالى ونفعنا به وبكم آمين. من لم يبلغه الوحي وهو عاقل ولم يعرف ربه, هل يكون معذورا أم لا؟ The question is, a person who did not receive the wahi, did not hear about the wahi, and he has sanity, يعني he has the intellectual capacity to deduce and to compare things, and he did not know his Lord, and he did not believe in the Creator, is he or she excused or not? Those who have not heard of the da'wah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have their intellectual capacities, are they accountable or are they excused? This is another issue here of difference between the Maturidis and the Ash'aris. Naam. عِنْدَنَا, Imam Nasafi says, according to us, yani according to the Maturidi scholars, radiallahu anhum, he is not, or that person is not excused. That person is not excused. وَيَجِبُ عَلَىٰ يَكُونُ مَعْذُورًا وَيَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَسْتَدِلَّ بِأَنَّ لِلْعَالَمِ صَانِعًا كَمَا اسْتَدَلَّ أَهْلُ الْكَهْفِ حَيْثُ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَكَإِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ فَلَمَّا رَأَى الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي إِلَى قَوْلِهِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُمْ. Imam Nasafi saying, no, that person is not excused, and he's accountable or she's accountable, even if they have not heard of the message or of the wahi. And they are obligated to deduce that to this world has a creator, this creation has a creator, just like the people of the cave. You all know the story of the people of the cave. When they deduce that by saying what Allah said about them, في سورة الكهف, ربنا رب السماوات والأرض, we believe in He who created earth and heaven. So that's an intellectual deduction. That's not necessarily a textual deduction for them. And then he said, as Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he said, فَلَمَّا رَأَى الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي فِي سُورَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ, they know the ayah is known, when he saw the sun, and he's telling them, of course we believe that Ibrahim was on Tawheed, but he's making the examples for his people. So when he saw the moon, he said, is this my Lord? Yani, is this the Lord that I should be worshipping according to you? And then when the moon left, or, you know, the day came, and that means the moon was subject to change, and the Creator is not subject to change. If the Creator is subject to change, that means change is more powerful than the Creator, that was able to change the Creator. Naam? So that means the Creator is incapacitated, cannot be the Creator, cannot have the omnipotence. So when he saw the sun coming, is this this is bigger, is this my Lord that I should be worshipping? Until then he says, and then also the sun left. So change is a attribute of the creation, not an attribute of the creator. Because change always implies changing from a state of non-perfection to a state of perfection, or vice versa, from a state of perfection to a state of non-perfection. Either way, it's not applicable to the creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was eternally and everlastingly with no beginning and no end, attributed with the attributes of Godhood, which are the attributes of superiority and supreme perfection subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore Ibrahim alayhi salam at the end of the ayah said, Inni bari'un mimma tushrikun, I am innocent from what you are associating the creator with. Yani, I am innocent from the attribute of the creation you're assigning to the creator. This is also an intellectual deduction and an intellectual approach to substantiating the attributes of the creator. It's not textual. He did not tell them, I am a messenger from Allah and I'm giving you this text and this is an ayah or this is a book or etc. No, he's talking to them common sense and intellectual understanding of these things. So therefore the Maturidis radiallahu anhum, and I don't know of anyone who defected yani from the Maturidis,
أرسله معنا غدا يرتع ويلعب وإن له لحافظ. طيب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So again the excuse, the Maturidis are on the accountability of those who did not hear of the da'wah of Islam, and the Ash'aris are against that. They say those who did not hear the da'wah of Islam, they are not accountable. And also the Hanbalis, yani the Hanbalis of Al-Sunnah, also are on that opinion. Yani many of the people of Hadith, and I mean the people of Hadith among Al-Sunnah, yani those who are more on Hadith. And again, that's not to say that the others are not the Hadith. That's just the opinion here. They're saying that the one who has not heard of the da'wah of Islam is excused. And of course, the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. Surah Al-Isra is very clear in that, saying that Allah mentions, we would not be punishing until we have sent a messenger. So therefore, punishment without sending a messenger is not, according to the zahir of the ayah, is clear that it is not going to happen. And also the Mu'tazila agree with us on this, yani with the Ash'aris and the Hanbalis and the people of Hadith of Al-Sunnah, that one cannot substantiate, or one can substantiate, and Mu'tazila has an opinion which is interesting in this. They say one can substantiate with the intellect on the existence of the creator, and the creator is worthy of being worshipped, but that one is not accountable. Yani there's no accountability, though the substantiation that should be done. So yani the Maturidis again want to say that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send any messenger, they should have known with their intellect that he exists subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he's attributed with the attributes of Godhood and the attributes of Uluhiyya, and he's the creator of the universe, etc., etc. Just like Imam Abu Mansur al-Maturidi rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned. Also al-Babardi mentioned that, or al-Babardi if you want to say that, as you know probably. Al-Balkhi also mentioned that, al-Muntaqa wal-Natafi fi al-Ajnas, and al-Sabuni fi al-Bukhari fi al-Kifaya. Many of the, yani the pillars of the Maturidi school, رحمهم الله ورضي عنهم, went to that. And again, I lean towards the opinion of the Hanbalis, the Sunni Hanbalis here, and the Ash'aris, in the sense that if there is no messenger, people are excused. And of course, Imam al-Suyuti rahimahullah mentioned a very nice statement. He says, قَدْ أَطْبَقَ أَئِمَّتُنَا الشَّافِعِيَّةِ, يعني there is almost an ijma' among the Shafi'i imams رضي الله عنهم, من أهل الكلام والأصول على أن من مات ولم تبلغه الدعوة يموت ناجيا. Among the people of أصول and كلام, all the imams, that those who died and have not heard the da'wah, they are among the successful ones in the Day of Judgment, inshallah ta'ala. So again, that's a little difference. I don't know if you want to go more deep in that. I think in this issue here, I think the ayahs are clear, and both have sort of their substantiation. Again, the point I think is very clear in this. From this, I also want to take a point of those who have not heard of the da'wah, and those who have been in the people of fatra, yani the people of fatra, and therefore people who want to say that, yani the father and the mother of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam are wal iyadu billah in jahannam. We disagree, and among our disagreement, of course, many things, but this is also one of the reasons for the disagreement, that Allah mentioned in the Quran that وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا, we will not torture or we will not punish until we have sent a messenger. And Allah says to Surah Yasin, في Surah Yasin to النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, لتنذر قوما, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم. So you were there to give inzar and to give warning and teaching to those whose father have not been given this warning and teaching. So therefore, if they have not been given, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they are from the people of fatra. And the people of fatra are people of success. And the ulama disagreed, saying, well, wait a minute. If they are the people of fatra and they have not received a messenger, will they be immediately sent to Jannah, or will they be subjugated to a test? Some people said they will be subjugated to a test for the akhirah, yani in the Day of Judgment. And if they pass the test, they will go to Jannah. And if they don't pass the test, they will go to Jahannam. But again, Imam Suyuti and many others did not really lean to that, for a very simple reason, because al-akhirah daru jaza'. Al-akhirah is a place for a reward or punishment. It's not a place for test. The place for testing is at dunya. And therefore, if Allah did not willed in His eternal will that He was not going to send any messenger to certain people and they have not heard of the message of Islam, then He deemed that they would be, inshallah, among the people of success, and they will go to Jannah, even if they have not worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or even did not know about Him, etc., etc., etc. Naam. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Naam. We have finished now this one here. Let me finish the entire first chapter, which we don't have much left. So we'll go to the fifth subtopic, which is the hukm. Hukm man lam ya'rif shara'it al-iman. Man lam ya'rif shara'it al-iman. The judgment for those who do not know the conditions of iman. What is that? Imam Nasafi rahimahullah said, man lam ya'rif shara'it al-iman. Hal yakunu mu'minan am la? Hal yakunu mu'minan am la? He or she who did not know the conditions of iman, are they mu'min or they're not? قالت المعتزلة, الإمام نسفي says, المعتزلة said, لا يكون مؤمنا ما لم يعرف جميع شرائط الإيمان ويصف بلسانه ويصدق بقلبه. And the المعتزلة said that he would not be a mu'min or she would not be a mu'min unless they know the whole conditions of iman with their tongue and with confirming and affirming with the heart. وهو أن يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله، يؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله ودين الإسلام خيرا من سائر الأديان، فهو مؤمن مسلم. Again, the conditions of iman: شهادة أن محمد رسول الله، بالله، ملائكة، كتب، رسل، and دين الإسلام. نعم. المعتزلة said وقالت المعتزلة ما ذكرناه هو مذهب أبي حنيفة رحمه الله. المعتزلة said what we just mentioned is the madhhab of Abu Hanifa رحمه الله. فإنه ذكر في الجامع الكبير, because they said it is mentioned في الجامع الكبير. الجامع الكبير is a book by الإمام العظيم الأعظم, يعني of course الإمام العظيم الأعظم أو الإمام الكبير أبي عبد الله محمد بن حسن الشيباني, the companion of Abu Hanifa. نعم, أنه هو أحد كتب ظاهر الرواية for الإمام محمد بن حسن. إمام محمد بن حسن, as you know, the, among the two companions of الإمام الأعظم أبو حنيفة, and they are all really great Imam حقيقة. يعني we don't, يعني سبحان الله. Anyway, الإمام محمد بن حسن mentioned في الجامع الكبير that من تزوج امرأة صغيرة فأدركت واستوصفت شرائط الإيمان فإن وصفت فهي امرأته وإن لم تعلم أو قالت لا أدري بنت منه. يعني the one who marries someone and she was asked to describe the conditions of iman, so if she described them fully then she is his wife, but if she failed then she is automatically divorced, basically that she is not a complete believer. إلا أن نقول, but Imam al-Nasafi or saying you the يعني ابن حسن's book رحمه الله, إلا أن نقول يوصف لها شرائط الإيمان فإن علمت فهي امرأته وإن لم تعلم أو قالت لا أدري بنت منه. And again the continuation of this is that she is described the conditions of iman, so if she knows them then she is what, yeah, she doesn't have to memorize them, or people do not have to memorize them in the academic sequence, etc., etc., but they should know them. But if they don't know them then they said the sentence is validated. Inshallah, I will. There's actually one thing I want to talk about because it has to do with this. And the talk about fitra, because some people said, what is the fitra? And I mentioned something about it. Remember that I believe, again, that's my sort of deduction, is that people, many people, they said the fitra is that people are born on Islam, etc., based on the hadith, في صحيح مسلم. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said kullu mawludan yuladu ala al-fitra, every mawlud, every newborn is born on the fitra, and they said the fitra is Islam, and because the fitra is Islam so people go back to the fitra. And my opinion is, again, that's not, I'm not saying that's not Imam Nasafi's or nobody's opinion per se, that's obligatory for people to believe, yani. This is the discussion inshallah, and I will want to finish with this, is that the fitra is simply the open capacity for people to receive good or bad. And the dalil, the very dalil they bring on the fitra, they said kullu mawludin, al-hadith says, al-hadith again also fi sahih Imam Muslim, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi, Bukhari also yani narrated that kullu mawludin, every mawlud, every newborn is born on the fitra, fa'abawahu, his parents make him a Yahudi, or make him a Nasrani, or they make him a Majusi. But there is a riwayah in Muslim, in addition to that, saying that, and if his parents are Muslimain, he will become Muslim. فَإِنْ كَانَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ فَمُسْلِمْ, الحديث في صحيح مسلم. So therefore, it also means that if the parent, whatever the parents are, they will make their children that way. And that sort of coincides with what people say, the human being is product of his environment. And the reason that the fitra cannot be simply that people are born in the tawheed, because tawheed entails information and conviction of that information. So you realize Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is the creator, etc., etc., and you're convinced of that beyond any doubt. This is the tawheed. And if people are born in tawheed, that means they have this, and that means they also are able, yeah, they know it, versus Allah says for Quran al-Kareem that, which means people do not know anything when they're born. There is no information on Tawheed or anything else like that. Allah says in Surah An-Nahl, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله أخرجكم من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة. الله made you exit the wombs of your mothers not to be, and you do not know anything. لا تعلمون شيئا, you do not know anything. Then Allah gave you the sama, the hearing and the sight and the heart, etc. So that means with these things then you will know. Now, and if the fitra was the tawheed and was the Islam, then people would not be able to change that. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned from Quran al-Kareem, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله. The fitra that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made people on, there is no tabdeel, there is no change for what Allah made or what Allah created. So that would mean they would not be able to change fitra. I mean, I don't think this is a big deal, but I think the fitra then, it is that the things that the people are born with the capacity to learn and become either muwahid or they become otherwise because of the intellectual capacity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lamu wa ahkam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala sayyina Muhammadin wa alih. Inshallah, next week, if Allah gives us the permission, we will start with the second chapter. And the second chapter talks more about now the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the war and the creation, etc., etc. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. If there are any questions, inshallah, I will try to answer them to the best of my knowledge. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi. Question number one, is it necessary for people who did not receive da'wah to at least believe in the presence of the creator, I mean the existence, not the presence per se? If you are on this aspect and this issue following the Maturidi school, then it is, they're not only, it's not only necessary, but they're obligated and they will be punished if they don't substantiate with their intellect that the existence of the Creator. Now, for the Ash'aris and the Hanbalis and the Mu'tazilis and many of the people of Hadith, they say no, it's not necessary. If they don't know anything about the Creator, etc., even if they did not worship the Creator, because they simply did not receive a messenger, no matter what they have done, even if they have committed shirk, etc., 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 they are not accountable, because accountability implies or has to have four conditions. Number one, there must be the person, the individual must be pubescent. Number two, must be sane. Sane, yani not insane. Number three, must have some of his senses or her senses, like hearing or sight, yani one of the other. And number four, have or has heard the da'wah of Islam. If any of these four conditions are not met, that person, that individual, is not accountable, غير مكلف. And if he's غير مكلف, or she's غير مكلف, then they are among the people of success, inshallah ta'ala. So that's the whole point. Yani if someone who's insane, for example, someone who does not have an intellectual capacity, insanity, okay, he's not mukallaf, no matter what he does. So we don't want to go into the fiqh issue now. Those who are even drunk, or those who are in a coma, etc., etc., and they commit these things. So you can take it a little bit and expand on that, because sanity is important, and hearing da'wah is important, and puberty is also important. So those who are not pubescent, they're also not accountable. Yeah. And Allah knows best. Question number two, can pride be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If yes, how do we understand it? And what is the status of the hadith in terms of authenticity? Hadith Qudsi, pride is my cloak and grandeur is my trousers. If anyone disputes with me in any of these two, I shall admit them to hellfire, etc. Abu Hurairah reported, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is better under his mind. Yani you see that the hadith is sahih, and basically, of course, this is a metaphor, because who has the grandeur? Who is great? If you tell me, yani, remember that some of the attributes of Allah, in their name, not in their content or meaning, in their yani al-ism dun al-musamma, in their name may be attributed to the creation. For example, Sami', Allah is Sami'. And the creation, Allah gave him sama'. Allah in the Quran says, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا, to Adam alayhi salam, or to the human being. This is okay because only the name is sharing. There is no share of the content of this name. Now, but some other names, if you give it to a human being, of Allah ta'ala, is belittling the human being. And some of the attributes of the creation, if you give it to Allah, is of course, that thing, because it's inappropriate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Jabbar. Who is Jabbar? You give someone to a human being Jabbar? Jabbar, that a mosquito kills him? That's not Jabbar. So therefore, that's really mocking the human being if you tell him you're Jabbar. Who is grandeur? Who is grandeur? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-azim, al-a'zam. So al-izzah, pride, if you want, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you understand that? Is that the honor and the greatness and all this is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one has that because He is the creator and everything is subjugated by Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. And that is metaphor, yani, what you're saying with Izar, etc., etc. That's simply a metaphor to make us understand the meaning that these things are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, the human being ought to be humble, and not arrogant and pride, etc. And only those who are arrogant usually are so showing off and proud of themselves now. And notice, yani, the example I always give of the tree. When the tree is filled with fruits, it's always almost bowing down. And when the tree is empty of fruits, no apples on that tree, it's totally empty, the tree is standing up. Now, question number 3. Based on the ayah that he will not punish until a messenger has been sent, does this mean everyone now is accountable because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sent to the world? Everyone in the world is accountable who has heard the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are people who can argue, hypothetically speaking, there are people who have not heard of the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are not accountable, even if they are in this world today. Say some African tribe in the Amazon, or somebody in the Amazon, etc. And Allah knows this. Question number 4. What is the status of people who hate Islam because they heard of Islam through media against Islam? Intellectually, aren't they able to realize that the medias are not objective? Well, again, with people who are pubescent and who are sane and who have heard the da'wah of Islam, Islam expects them to research and not to simply think with someone else's brain and not borrow someone else's thoughts and words. Because Islam is not based on aqidah, yani. It's not based on blind imitation, blind taqleed. No, it's based on conviction. And the human being, Allah gave him a brain and gave her a brain and a mind so it can be used, so people do not just simply borrow. So they have to compare and contrast and search for the truth. And it applies to Muslims when they study their aqidah. It has to be a matter of conviction, it cannot be a matter of taqleed. No. When a pregnancy ends before the soul is entered into the baby, does this mean no soul allocated to the baby? What are the implications of a mother's patience at this time? Does she have less reward with Allah for it? Or might she place for her to be called in Jannah? May Allah forgive the mother and the baby. number one. The other one is that this is really a point of fixed agreement, timing, because many of the fuqaha believe that the embryo has, this is at the very initial inception of the sperm with the oocyte or with the egg, and that's the formation of the zygote. And at that time, there is really, I mean, people don't even know at this point. It's like the day of ovulation. So that female does not even know that she's pregnant yet. So therefore, if that ends, she wouldn't even know. But after that, then many of the fuqaha mean that the baby has a soul, and the embryo, I'm sorry, I mean the embryo has a soul, and the embryo is from week 1 to week 9. Now, that's from week 9 to week 38, it's called an infant. But question number 6. I heard that there was a gap of 500 years between the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and the departure of Isa. Why is that until the beloved announced his message, the previous people were not obliged to message of Isa? Is it because the message of Isa was distorted by the people? There's a couple of things, yani, that to this, inshallah ta'ala. Number one, that most of the messages were not necessarily transported out of their locality, and most of the messengers came to their local people. So therefore, other people were not accountable. Yani, what are you going to say to the people, let's say, who were the Red Indians in South America, for example, with Ali Islam, who were not at that time? So there are many people everywhere that were not able to hear the message of Isa alayhi salam. So people were not accountable or obliged to follow that message unless they have heard and they have heard it and examined it. Now, and there are also many other reasons, but I think what you've mentioned also and what we talked about. Question number 7, what type of a da'wah must a person have heard the minimum to be accountable? That's also a point of disagreement. What is the minimum? يعني لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Is that enough, or they have to sort of be able to be exposed to the comparison in Tawheed, and why is the Creator worthy of being worshipped? Why is there no one else worthy of being worshipped but Him? What are His attributes that makes Him, or that Astaghfirullah makes Him, but I mean, what are the attributes of the Creator, etc.? So, there's a point of disagreement to that, and the apparent of the Hadith, the apparent side of the Hadith that we have, is that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell people, La ilaha illallah. But also, يعني, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take and give people examples, just like the Prophet alayhi wa sallam gave them examples so they can strike their intellectual curiosity so they can think. So there is a minimum. They do not have, what I'm trying to say is, they do not have to hear every single detail about the da'wah and the fiqh, etc., etc. But the essential concept of tawheed, there's one creator and he's worthy of being worshipped, and etc. These, yani, very basic ones, and not the details of tawheed, but the basic concept, inshallah ta'ala, is what should ought to be delivered. And again, the da'wah, of course, and most lean towards simply the point, and that's again, actually, almost everybody's lean towards it, simply the da'wah of La ilaha illallah, that kalima, ought to strike the intellectual curiosity in every accountable human being to search, what does that mean, there's no God but one, why can't there be, etc., etc., etc. Allah. Question number 8. Could you kindly clarify from the perspective of Aqidah the issue of legal capacity? In other words, do we have any sort of independent power, be it the ability to choose good acts or over bad acts, or formulate the intention to do an act of ibadah or not? Whosoever, given that everything falls under the power of Allah Ta'ala, according to the Ash'aris. I'm trying to understand the question. Remember that the Maturidi opinion, and I explained that last week, that the creation has the capacity legal and capacity, and the capacity has ta'thir. Yani there is an effect, so you can make a change. You can choose. You have the effort and the choosing of your good or bad deeds, and you take those good and bad deeds with your efforts. And not only simply the acquisition of them, but you make them, you intend them, and you execute them. And based on the power Allah gave you. That power that Allah gave you is the creation of Allah. But it's the capacity that Allah put in you to choose good or bad. So yes, your capacity, your qudra is created. Yes. But you, with the qudra Allah gave you that's created, make that choice. And that choice, of course, then you'll be accountable based on that. According to the Ash'aris, there is the kasb, the acquisition of the deed. And that means that if you, like the very famous example, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah and others, or Nawawi, I don't, that escapes me now which one, either Ghazali or Nawawi rahimahullah. I believe in Nawawi, not Ghazali. Because Al-Ghazali, Imam Ghazali usually, and Imam Al-Juwayni, they have sort of their own madhab in this, in a sense, among the Ash'ari scholars. Yani they have, especially both, yani Fil Irshad with Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, they, you could say they are mujtahids in the sense of that. But anyway, may Allah be pleased with them and all the ulama of Al-Sunnah. The Ash'aris believe that, I believe now, Nawawi, that kind of coming to me, that if someone throws a stone and breaks a glass, then the throwing and the hitting and the breaking is all by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the slave simply acquires the end result. If this is a bad thing or a good thing, then, you know, in even the intention. So the whole thing is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the acquisition is by the slave. And as you know, many of the, I believe, Al-Qari, Imam Abu Hassan Ash'ari, and many, but many of the Ash'ari scholars mention the thing about the between not Ibn Fawr Al-Baqillani maybe and some other scholar from the Mu'tazila when he told him that أَرَأَيْتَ إِن مَنَعَكَ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَقَبَى عَلَيْكَ بِالرَّدَى أَأَحْسَنَ إِلَيْكَ أَمْ أَسَاءَ. So he's talking to Mu'tazili, this Imam is talking to Mu'tazili, he's an Ash'ari Imam. He's talking to Mu'tazili, and Mu'tazili is telling him, and how come, what if he created you as an environment of kufr? And he deemed that you always be in that environment, and you grow up kafir, and then he willed that you die as kafir. Did he do you good, or did he do you bad? That's a difficult question, because if you say that Allah did you bad or did zulm on you, that's kufr, because Allah does not do zulm. Allah is just. So the, I believe maybe the Al-Baqillani rahimahullah, or one of the major pillars of the Ash'ari madhab, and told him, إِن مَنَعَكَ مَا هُوَ لَكْ فَقَدْ أَسَاءَ وَإِلَّا فَهُوَ يَفْعَلُ فِي مُلْكِهِ مَا يَشَاءَ. He told him, if it prevents you something that you own, that is rightfully yours, then he has done you wrong. Other than that, he does in his dominion whatever he wills. So that's the Ash'ari opinion. So if he gave you hidayah, then that's his eternal gift to you, and that's how you're going to end, and it's a done deal. And if he did not, that's also his just to you. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, again, we differentiate here that we believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave people the capacity, and because of their capacity, they are judged. Now, question number 9, how do we substantiate the term fitrah? Not fatrah, fatrah, periods of non-accountability. How do we explain the verse in Surah Fatir, verse, وَإِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. There was never, and there never was people, a warner, never was a people without a warner having lived among them. That understanding, of course, you have to take it with the other ayah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون في سورة ياسين. To warn people that their fathers have not been warned. ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون. And then Allah says also وما كنا معذرين حتى نبعث رسولا. So all these ayahs, they have combined توافق موافقة with this ayah, would lead to tell you that this ayah is not the one who is subjugating the other ayah, versus this ayah is subjugated by the other, in the sense that, yani, in the general term, in the big ummas, and in the Arabs, for example, Ismail alayhi salam came, but then the teaching was discontinued. So there is a prophet in the ummah, but Ibrahim was saying, but then the teaching was discontinued, the teaching was distorted, etc. So people were not obliged then to follow, because the teaching were not authentic that they were getting, so they were it's a period of non-accountability in that sense. So remember, again, you have a couple of ayahs that leading towards that, and Allah knows best. Now, Allah. Any other questions, inshallah ta'ala? If there are no other questions, inshallah ta'ala, Assalamu alaikum. Please keep us in your dua. Allama Nisar Bek, Qadiri, Hafizahullahu ta'ala. May Allah bless him. He is one of the pillars of Ahl Sunnah nowadays world. Munawwir al-Islam. He really is Munawwir al-Islam. And if you have a chance to visit him or visit with him and learn from him, please go, and I urge all of you to go, and when he gets better, inshallah, for right now, make dua for him. I have had the honor always try to be with him, and last time when I was in the UK, I visited his home, and mashallah, despite he was not feeling very well, but you could see the noor in his face and the sunnah subhanAllah shining on him and his blessed home and children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him with shifa and bless him long life, so he can illuminate the people of the world with his knowledge and his nur and his articulate debate, mashallah. Like I said, I did not tell him that, but deep in my heart I believe he is munadhir al-Islam really now and nowadays. علم النصار بق قادري صاحب. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying to him urgently that he gives our beloved علم النصار بق قادري صاحب شفاء, and that he takes care of him, and that he blesses him, blesses his home, and accepts his deeds for decades in the da'wah of Ahl Sunnah, and a da'wah for Allah, and a da'wah for His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and assemble us with him and all of us and all of our mashayikh and all of our students and all the Muslims under the banner of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in the Day of Judgment and on his debasement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also put in our hearts the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love of the Sahaba al-Kiram radiallahu anhum, the love ajma'een, all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, the love of Ahlul Bayt ajma'een radiallahu anhum, love of Tabi'een and Tabi'at Tabi'een, and to make us steadfast on the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and also to put amongst us the love of each other and the care for each other and the mahabba and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah wants us to have amongst each other. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وسلم. So please make dua for me, inshallah, and I will see you with الله تعالى وبركاته.